Oh, we're having the door open. That's fine.
If that's okay with all of you, I mean, that way we'll have a bit more airy. So one of the things that we could do, if you would at all be willing to do that, is just to sort of think about some of these questions and maybe look at some of the maps in those books as they go around. So I don't know, is that something that you would maybe like to do in small groups, or so just have a chat about that amongst yourselves and then sort of report back and see if we come to similar conclusions or if we have different ideas?
I just came in and saw that. He looked at one picture and didn't look at anything else.
No.
I think I'd quite like to sit with someone else and look at some pictures all the time. Have a look and see something and then perhaps come back.
Why was that map of Ischia so important that you showed in that thing?
Well, partially because it really shows that text and image go together. So this map was made to be part of this treatise on improving your health. Also because this area, so around Naples, so since antiquity, this is a place where even the Romans, they would have gone there to spend some time.
Yeah, I know, they still go, actually. I've got a friend who lives there. She still goes to Ischia for a cure or something.
That is very interesting.
Isn't this
really
magic? Yes,
wonderful, isn't it?
Apparently, Angela Merkel goes
into.
Oh, right.
Oh, right.
This is the secret, yes.
The secret of Angela Merkel.
Yeah,
I could put that map up there again if you like.
I've not been there. It's Naples lots of times.
So that's one of the questions you would ask of a map, isn't it?
Referenced social value.
Expand
on that a little bit. Alex, I'm not quite sure.
So having a map that was colored, for instance, in a very expensive and prestigious way, that would also make the map something to show to your friends or to the select group of people that you would allow into your library, and as a means of asserting that you were not only wealthy but also erudite and learned, and
So it wouldn't be for the common man. The common man wouldn't have access to any map.
Yeah, yeah.
At what point in history the working man or the...
Could you go
Pardon?
Could you go down the road and buy a map?
At what point in history would...
Definitely a lot later than the period that I look at. Yeah. Not in the early modern period, for sure. I think with mechanical reproductions and prints just being a lot more expensive, a lot cheaper than they were in the 17th, 16th century. I don't know, really. 19th century, maybe?
So sort of Joe Bloggs wanted to go from Warwick to London.
Wouldn't they initially follow the church steeples, wouldn't they?
Would they follow the coach route?
Or roadside.
They go back to very early times. I mean, the ley lines were always connected with the church, but there were ancient markers, weren't there?
Yes.
I think.
You've got the old Roman road.
So those things you see in Brittany, that told the biblical scenes, I think they were probably markers as well. You see those stone calvaire, I don't know what they called it in, I forgot the name for them in English, and they're sort of, they've got a big post on top usually, haven't they, a biblical scenes, for people who couldn't read and write, but I'm sure they must have been signposts as well for people.
That would be, that would be later.
They wouldn't have travelled very far, though, would they?
Well, some people did.
When you remember that mankind started on the coast.
And then when they
finished going round the coast, it started going in more. And it took
There's talk, isn't years. There, of some of the ancient monuments in Scotland, and people came down from Scotland to Stonehenge.
I mean,
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Well, yes, but you see, there's a programme on Stonehenge, and they've now found areas, and they've found artifacts from so many different places.
Yes.
Oh, right. Obviously, I think it was a place where people came in and traded and brought things from all over the world. Mm.
Without
people were very brave, weren't they? I think of pioneers in America crossing Death Valley.
Oh, good.
Yes. You know, not knowing what they were going into. Just amazing.
A bit of a leap of faith, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. I didn't think so, yes.
I don't know if you've ever been to Curaçao.
Oh, once.
Yes, I have, strangely.
What did you think of it?
I can't remember. Oh, statues.
Yeah, well, we went because a Dutch niece married somebody who'd gone to live there. So it wasn't, you know, sanitised hotel version. And it was funny because the maps there, the roads have one name that lasts for miles. And the maps are punctuated by American outlets like Subway and Pizza Hut, and you know, and you're literally, it's really quite sort of discombobulating, because we went, the wedding was by the beach in a church that an early pioneer religious missionary had gone to. So you're just in open countryside that really was barely mapped, and we got completely lost. It's the nearest I've been in these times. No sat nav either. Nothing to sat nav, I suppose.
Going back to the Cosimo and Gregory and their wonderful maps, if they put these, they put things to show that where they were. I know they had artifacts at the back of the cupboards, but how did they I think some of them I could see they had hills on, but how did they actually put little pictures to show that what people were doing?
I think in some cases
I was wondering what the detail was. When you look at these, you can't see
So I think maybe in Pyongani there's more detailed images of that, but also because that's black and white, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
loses. So, yeah.
I suppose they
coloured
that in.
That's the Vatican.
Yeah, that's
the
Vatican.
And
there's one of the
Perugia, 1580. Yeah, not amazing.
And the artifact they must have collected to have. Mm-hmm. Put in all these cupboards and.
But then you have money and power, didn't you?
Yes.
So there you are.
So these are all investments.
I know what you're doing.
You would.
That's pretty. 1780, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah. Because they've got that and they've come down to Australia.
Presumably, you have to have this stored at the right temperature.
Yeah,
so they just send them in a dry, centrally heated
house. We see damp as well, and they've got to move.
They've got the hills.
So imagine that. Countries would perhaps.
Do you think clusters as.
Actually, there is
detail. Clusters, works of art, or were they clusters of working?
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, were they clusters works of art, or were they clusters a working document?
These I think. Well, I mean, I'm not quite sure. It depends on the kind of inventories that you look at, maybe. But part of what I'm finding is that it was considered part of a composite structure, almost.
Right.
So, if you think about cosmography, that could really be anything. Ranging from the artifacts themselves to the actual maps. So it's only later that we've started defining it as cartography or art. It's just all about the knowledge that it represents, but also the value in a more cultural sense, the mystery really, because people were not quite sure what it was that they were actually looking at.
Yes,
Interesting, isn't it?
Yes, that would have been interesting, looking at these things for the first time and trying to fathom out what they actually were in these collections. Or
how do we ask them?
What sort of messages are?
The lines marked on it and also outlines of coasts and things.
I think one of the things about when you are looking at maps, or say a world atlas, it does open up the possibilities of where you could go and what's there, what's around there.
I'm sure.
So it sort of helps in guiding your imagination almost.
And as you go through life, there, when you look at maps when you're younger, there are places that you dream of going through and being. When you get to this stage of life, there may be places that you've been, or that you could go to if you wanted to. Whereas before they were
dreams, weren't they?
Yeah. So what do you think that expectations do in that sense, and then being confronted with the actual reality of a place? So thinking about a place and just looking at it on a map, say, and then actually going there and
the
being like,
I went to Cuba at Christmas time. Mm. So in some of the ancient maps here, it's quite clearly marked that Cuba is on the map. Mm-hmm. So you look at it and you. So I look at it through my life here. Mm-hmm. Yes, Cuba would be fascinating. Mm-hmm. First of all. Mm-hmm. Yes, the reality is very different when you are there. But what I find fascinating is the distance. So you can look at a map and say, well, Havana's there and we're going to the west. Mm-hmm. And the actual amount of time that it takes to get there on the road is a long, long time.
Yes, and that's why you're clearly being influenced by the particular kind of medium. So if a map maker presents it as being seemingly quite close, you wouldn't expect it to be such a long journey, right? Yes. Whereas if you've actually done that, if you've gone to that place, you know that you cannot go there any faster than, say, in a few hours.
So one of the places I went to on the way to the west was Manales. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that when you come back, you often look at where you have been, the tours that go there. Anyway, there was this particular tour which really, the emphasis on the east of Cuba, and there was a day trip to Manales. And I thought, well, having been there, I can now say that's an awfully long way to go. In one day, to go there and come back in one day is not really worth it, because it's worth going, but to spend the whole day travelling to go
just
there, you need a lot more time.
And we have very, I suppose, very Western. I know that's west, but I'm going to Cuba as well. Ideas of things. When we went to Sri Lanka, it doesn't look very big, but the infrastructure is so torturous that it's the same. So it could look quite small on the map.
It looks quite close, but it
represents, as you say,
everything it takes. It's the amount of time that it takes to get there. So when you've actually experienced it, you've got much better ideas to the reality.
But in the 16th and 17th century, I wonder if they thought the same, if they looked at these maps. Did they know? Would they know how long it would take people to get there from?
Well, not generally, I think, but just this idea of looking at a map and specifically sort of almost immediately starting to plot a potential journey there, I think that's relatively modern. Mm-hmm. Because in a period when relatively few people travelled, you wouldn't have necessarily looked at a map and then just automatically considered, like, that's a place that I could actually physically go to.
The concept of time.
The concept of,
would be impossible, really, with sailing ships and things. You just don't know.
Wouldn't be a way to get there, would there? Time and probably.
I'm interested to know about the looking at wall maps and that sort of thing, how that would influence our expectations. I don't know the answer.
So. Because it's on the wall, everybody can see it at the same time. Mm-hmm. And therefore, more discussion would perhaps take place.
One of the things that I was just thinking about, but that's my sort of book bias that really goes through most everything, is the fact that if you have a wall map, it's not as easy to... Well, I mean, you could present text next to it, but that's not really what you see in most cases with these wall maps, whereas in books, if you sort of look down at it, you can also sort of leaf through and read the description alongside the map itself. So I don't know, I was just wondering what that does to the mystery of a map in a way.
I must admit, I like to see it in the round. I like to see a globe. That's the way I like to see a map. So you can
relatively
speak, you can see where what things are, but rather than in an isolation on a page. Which looks more mysterious, I think, in the round. You would think that it was far more adventurous in the round.
Well, in the round, you've got more idea, haven't you, of how far away it is.
Yeah.
If you're just looking through a big Times atlas, it's just another page.
Because I go down to New Zealand, so you look at home here, UK, and then you think, oh, blimey, they make them all over here. Then you go, and then you have to, go any further. You start coming back, and Well, if you look at it flat, it doesn't seem very far. Yeah. But if you look at it on the globe, it seems quite away. Exactly. But politicians, going way back, have used maps as a tool to influence the populace. Would they have said, look, you know, if you work a bit harder, or you come and join this, you go and join my army, we'll move there and we'll take that land, and you can have a few more fields to feed the family.
So you're thinking specifically of military.
But they've shown a map. Would they have shown, you know, a prospective, I don't know, both of them coerced anyway, but well, they've shown the local populace a map and say, look, if you join me, we'll then take this bit more. And
well, quite possibly, I would think. But what's also interesting is thinking about literacy rates. So whereas people could not necessarily read, they could, of course, look at a map and see it visually. So that's where it really becomes a strong thing to persuade people, really, and to persuade big groups of big parts of the community.
Except you do have to learn to look at a map, because going back to my Russian friends, they found maps completely confusing.
Yes.
Actually, because they hadn't been brought up, and we were all brought up with lots of maps and so on.
But I still find, for instance, France, I can't get a handle on France at all, about what's where. I know where Paris is, but if you ask me where Lyon was, I just can't get a handle on France at all. It's funny, isn't it?
Yes.
Some parts of the world, you think, you've got a pretty good idea of what's where. But France, I just don't.
It's strange. Those Michelin maps of France, we love those, and they've got... You know, they've got the little green bits, you know that's going to be a really nice
road.
Usually
trees,
it means.
Yeah. All right.
They're really beautiful, those maps. They're Michelin maps, though, aren't they?
But it's interesting the point that you made there about how maps are used, because that happens in this country at the moment when we have the change in the boundaries for the constituencies. And that's all about mapping, isn't it? Where people live and you know what their likely political persuasion are likely to vote is manipulated
For those who are in power. Warwick used to be Labour, didn't it, until quite recently.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
So there's been boundary changes.
Because it's very small.
Is now around the bottom there, that's a constituency. And all these things are done
very,
for political reasons.
Mm-hmm. So the power of maps, which seem very, it all seems very objective, but it isn't.
It seems.
When you think, would they change the names of the counties? You know, Somerset became Avon and
Stafford.
Yeah, and there was the name changes of counties and shifting. Of course, that isn't where I was born. That's not the county I was born in. You know, I want to stay.
Well, when we came here, not knowing the area at all, our address was Solihull West Midlands.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of opposition.
Oh, indeed.
It was Warwickshire.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it meant nothing to us.
You're quite right, it did.
What is it now?
You know, it's Warwickshire. It's gone back to what it is.
Yeah.
We still get official things.
Four African.
You know, where down the Solihull West Midlands, but it is.
Break it down even more.
It always was apparently.
Countries within Europe.
I mean, we are Warwickshire.
It depended on that. Yeah. So I think for Europe it was quite detailed, but for Africa it was not as detailed as people did later. So they added maps as the knowledge sort of expanded.
Yeah.
But originally, Ptolemy itself, maps of Africa, for instance.
How were people's boundaries defined?
I'm thinking the Asian maps. Would he have used the medieval Islamic? Not medieval, before that, wasn't it? He wouldn't have had any.
It
seems that we also see that people are at distances from each other in the same period. They come to similar sites sometimes.
Maybe so. Could you say a hedge?
Well, there were parish boundaries, weren't
there?
There
were.
I don't know how
they
defined them.
Yeah.
The monastery had to do that.
Well,
people used to walk. I don't know what size. That's a significant place, is they give him a big wallet.
Is that true?
So he remembered. And if that happened a bit
for you,
you pass it on to the next generation. Well, in Brussels they do a walk, don't they, once a year? The Gordijn Laan, something to show the delineation of Dutch and French. Around the city, because that's a big thing, isn't it?
It's a big thing in Brussels in general. I think this sort of Flemish versus French.
That's the thing with maps, isn't it? Delineate. Language and religion.
Yeah, language too.
Indeed.
So one other thing I think we could maybe do, if that's interesting to you at all. So here you see that Mattioli mentions so many groups of people and that they could all benefit from geography and possibly even maps. So what we could also think about is the potential use of maps to all these groups. That was something that I was quite intrigued by. So, of course, pilgrims and travellers, but also theologists, philosophers, medics. So what do you think about that? Is that something that's interesting?
I think it's very interesting. What interests me was it says to gentlemen, and the most gentle women. And why would gentle women really need to use maps? Because they never went far on their own, only in their own area. They wouldn't go unaccompanied in those days.
Boadicea did.
Well.
So that was quite interesting as well when I was translating this passage, because Italian has all these interesting ways of making things, these superlatives. So this was gentiluomini, donne gentilissima, so sort of adding an extra layer for the women. But yeah, I was very interested in how democratic this is. Mm-hmm. So if being a woman, you would not necessarily be allowed to go outside unaccompanied, mm-hmm. would you be allowed access to maps? And would that, in a way, have helped you to still sort of imagine the world around you?
Yes, good point.
But I'm not quite sure. I mean, I'm still trying to interpret this and still trying to see if I can make sense of all these groups and how they would have all profited from geography.
I don't see medics somehow. I can't.
Well, I think that goes back to what you were saying about the island. The medics would want it.
Yes, it probably be more interesting to people to learn about the world than to actually go out in it, particularly for the women, say. Mm-hmm. But at least they would learn something about the outside world. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the idea, to know what this world of ours is. So it's an educational thing.
But then what could they do with that knowledge if they had it? Could they pass it on to their children, maybe? Mm-hmm. Could they have, I don't know, more pleasant conversations?
It's to the children, it's the passing on of knowledge, isn't it? That's the female has a lot to do with,
Knowledge is power.
yes.
Would their husbands be travelling? They'd know more about what was going on. Perhaps would be a greater thing. It's very difficult to think what it'd be like because they'd have all the they'd have the law of where they lived. And their town or city or whatever it was, and they would know a bit of the countryside because they'd move into it. So that's all you knew. So it would be a very big thing, quite different. It's very difficult for me to imagine.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I'm always struck by, I think it's Eugénie Grandet, Balzac, which is obviously much later, isn't it? Somebody knocks on the door at night in Saumur, there's a town. And they all look at one another because they can't think who it will be. They know who everybody is. Yeah. You know, they're all at home. All you can't imagine life like that, can you?
No.
It's quite different, isn't it?
So do you think identity was much more a local thing then?
I would have thought so. Particularly for women, surely.
Much more sort of confined.
Where they came from, because they necessarily wouldn't live in the same place once they had a husband. If one was thinking about
And do you think there'd be a difference if they lived in the country to if they lived in the town as well? Would they be a little bit more cosmopolitan living in a town than a little more adventurous?
I keep
than in the country.
I keep thinking about what they do with these mountains. They have the hills and they have the roads.
Yes.
And they have the coast.
Yeah.
But they haven't got
anything else?
Oh, they have actually got an animal here.
How can they imagine a hill if you live in flat Holland or
Antwerp? You just don't know what.
what animal is it?
Is it a bear?
It could very much be a imagined creature.
What country is it?
This is. It's the Ivory Coast.
I think I'm
It's the Ivory Coast. It's it's a lovely version of the one you gave us, I think. And
I don't think it would be a bear there, wasn't it?
It could be a thing rather like a lion.
What is that? I wonder what they make of it.
And there is a man up here who's holding something.
Habitation, perhaps, there?
Well, they put most things on maps, didn't they?
So, I would imagine that scale... Scales are important.
Yeah,
I don't know. If you want to get from one place to another. I would imagine that was quite a late... came to be used quite late on in maps, that maybe scale wasn't as important in the early maps?
It differs a lot in early maps. It's true that standardization comes in a bit later. But one thing you do see in many early maps is that there's a sort of legend at the bottom, so that you could actually, if you wanted to, you could make out the scale, and you could,
Because when I go away, I usually buy the little book, which is the top 10 of whichever place you're going to. It's got maps at the back, and the scale's important there. Because when you look at it at home before you go, you don't have much idea.
No, quite.
It's only when you're...
I know how far 500 yards is, but you know, mentally I find that quite a difficult thing to say. Well, actually, so it's only when you're actually on... These guidebooks are fine, but it's only really when you're on the ground that they come into their own. Because you can then get a feel for... so on the map, you know... That's that landmark, and that's landmark, and I can see that actually they are quite close to them. I can then say for the rest of this map, I know that how far places are. But for me, I find it difficult to be able to assess that until I'm there. Even although I know what the scale is, but you don't know what's. It's like the roads, you don't quite know what's going to be in the way, or what the conditions are going to be like.
I'm exactly the same. I can say that. But what's interesting is like the standardized format of these guidebooks sort of usually quite small, and then maps of the same cities are being adjusted the size of the booklet. So that really makes such a difference.
The scale is adjusted. So all the information will be on that back page, but the scale will differ, and that's what makes it tricky because they don't. If things are quite close together, it takes up the same amount of space if they're not so close together.
So cities are made to look all the same in a technical way, whereas, of course, cities historically they're not the same and they grow in an organic way. So.
It'd be interesting because we're going to Mars, aren't we, soon? But I mean, how they get to map that out?
I'm not quite sure if they've already mapped Mars. I doubt so.
Features.
Is that where science comes into
map?
Big
layers. I suppose they're like flyby of what was the underground. There's nothing like what the underground site because it's all straight lines. So would they have adopted a similar...
You know, mapping the coast of Australia for the first time, isn't it? It's incredible, isn't it, that we've never seen it before. And it's there.
I think it's fascinating when you look from space down on and from the this space exploration. They show photographs of or they film the Earth as they go around.
Amazing,
it's quite amazing. And what I thought, when you look at a map and the intricacies of the coastline, every little nuance. That is. Who did that? If it's a big bay, you can see that. But all these little. Coves and inlets.
And the time, like Norway, you know, the time it would take to get somewhere because you've got to go right along the road and back again.
That's right.
Scotland.
Is there any group in this sort of nice list that you're particularly surprised by? So a group that you think like how could they Well, I think that's where history really comes in. So one of the things that Ortelius says, which I quite like, is that geography is the eye of history. So it's only through maps of ancient lands that we can actually fully understand things like the Bible, but also just older sources in general, so to philosophers, going back to, say, Aristotle, it would be quite interesting to see where they lived and what kind of a context they were in, so just to add to their understanding. So I think that's what that's hinting at, but I'm not quite sure.
Where did he come from, Aristotle? It's an island, isn't it? Which island is
Greek.
It wasn't Simi, was it? No.
I can't remember.
Aristotle.
It is one of the islands.
Oh, I don't know.
Poets, I can see them. They would need.
Yeah, they could, yeah. Well, they'll take inspiration from anything, won't you? Really, yeah. Poets.
That's what poets do,
they've
right?
got yeah. poets do, yeah. yeah.
Travellers and pilgrims, though, mm-hmm. that was quite a business in those days.
Yeah.
So, yes, I can see that.
Isn't that lovely, though, in this way, with science and geography, anybody can be like an eagle or a falcon. Mm-hmm.
Things like the Pilgrim's Way, were they mapped or was that just signs?
I think that's more likely to be signs than maps. Because pilgrims normally were very poor and
stayed in monasteries, didn't they?
Yeah.
And
they just followed the road that was there.
And they would have. It would have markers,
yes,
because it's such an important route.
Mm-hmm. Like the Camino is now.
Places to stay as well.
Archaeologists isn't up there.
That's because archaeology is quite a recent
science, really,
but it's very useful to archaeologists.
Yes, isn't it?
Oh, very much so to archaeologists.
Cosimo was into his Etruscan bronzes, wasn't he? He was chipping away at what
wasn't
he? Why are you doing that?
It sounds
it does, doesn't it?
Yes,
it does. It does, doesn't it? When you look now, when they do these digital imagery, what they can source from. It's on the ground that you can't see. So it's not just the physicality of the area, it's actually what you can see digitally of how photography now, or this range of science can now make a difference to what maybe we understood. Was it a place hundreds of years ago?
So it adds a layer in a way.
It adds another layer. But would you class that now as mapping, or would you class that as digital imagery? Would that be classed as mapping?
You could class it as mapping, I think.
It's surveying mapping.
Yeah.
I suppose it is, isn't it? Yeah. It'd be all the same sort of thing, yeah.
Because with all of that technology, you can see what's under the ground.
Yes, that's right. That's right, yeah.
So those are maps, and that wouldn't have been available to humanity until... I think you would have been able to see what was there when it was there, but
it's lost under the desert,
thousands of years later, to be able to actually see what has been left behind.
And maybe in years to come, that'll turn mapping on its head, the physical. As we see it now.
Because it is a form of mapping, isn't it?
Yeah. When was the first mapping of oceans? You know how you...
They know the volcanoes
and mountains.
Yeah. I do not know, but that's a very good question.
The Open University had a map that came with their Science Foundation course, which was the map of the... of the sea, of all of the oceans. Mm. Absolutely fascinating.
They are kind of fascinating how they know what's there. Because, even when you watch the sort of latest David Attenborough programmes, you're seeing things that have never been seen before.
Yeah.
So to have the technology.
Mm. But that's under the surface as well, right? Because yeah. I mean, yeah. maps of the seas mm. and coastlines, and that is something that you really see from the Middle Ages onwards, because yeah. people were already traveling and yes. they were already sort of like yeah. traders going there. And yeah,
but there's the ocean bed, though.
No, no. Yeah.
So when did charts? So for navigation, mm. because they're mm-hmm. maps, but they're charts. So when do you know when that separation happened between land maps mm. and maps that are used for navigation?
I don't specifically know. Charts are something that is much earlier than land maps. So that is really something that we know from the Middle Ages onwards, on parchment. Often not necessarily made to last. So it was also very much a sort of thing that was just being taken on ships, for instance. Yes. And you wouldn't necessarily want to keep it, whereas with land maps, it very much becomes something that you want to actually show and look at again and again.
Interesting.
Was the Dutch East Indies Company very important to this world with their...
They were very influential in mapping. Part of it was because they invested quite heavily in it. I mean, to them, obviously, it would have had even commercial advantages, also politically in the competition with the English, for instance. So we know that Johan Blau, at a certain point, he's cartographer to the East India Company. And so in his house, he would have all the new knowledge that came in through, like, sailors that came back, merchants, and he would then use all that knowledge and sort of pass that on to the East India Company. Whereas it would not necessarily be used in maps that were accessible to wider audiences. I think there was even a contract that he had to sign which said that if he were to publicly issue parts of this sort of secret knowledge that came in via the East India Company, he would lose his job and he would be persecuted and all these mm-hmm. kinds of things. So that's where knowledge is extremely valuable, and it also becomes a quite risky business, cartography. But it's really fascinating how much they actually knew in that period, just because they were going all over the globe, and so how elitist that was, in a sense, because it was only accessible to really like the people highest in the East India Company hierarchy, and to their cartographer, of course. Mm. But it was up to him what he did with that knowledge. So
he wasn't sort of under contract to them to.
Think about the early traders, they would have learned the routes, so presumably they made charts quite early on.
Mm-hmm. The Phoenicians covered a lot of ground, didn't they?
I'm sure they had some sorts of charts. Mm-hmm. Because they needed to know where they were going. Mm-hmm. Okay, they could steer by the stars mm-hmm. and so on. But nevertheless, they would need to know
the general direction
of the coast mm-hmm. that they were. Mm-hmm. It's interesting when you think about it.
Isn't
it?
Yeah, it's fascinating. Mm-hmm.
They came unstuck, didn't they, the Venetians, when they found the passage to the east? Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't find it, somebody else did.
Yeah.
So they could bypass Venice, couldn't they?
It's a different
I really believe that I can imagine the artefacts at the back, but I can also see some of them got little trees and a few animals and wood.
Woods.
I would have thought they'd be fascinating. I'm wondering about the doctors, though. Would it mean that they would know where to plant
some
resources. Because the monasteries always had a special garden, mm-hmm. didn't they? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
they
the monks that
they don't have buildings used. On, do they, these monks at all?
They don't have buildings.
Well,
they don't do towns, cities.
Well, there was a Renaissance map of Venice, wasn't it? Because I remember seeing a company of all the little houses and canals were delineated. It was a very detailed map, and that comes from about the 1500s.
Amazing, isn't it?
So really, the people who wanted to keep the maps in their studio, it was something like it was like a treasure chest, and the map was part of the treasure. Yes,
for sure.
So it wasn't, from their point of view, it wasn't practical use. It was just something attractive and
shows their intellectual
rare, sort of. It's like having, it's like buying a valuable painting, the same sort of thing. But because these were new, you know, it was all relatively new, so, I want one of those, I want one of those. So that wasn't for practical use, so much as for other people. So it's quite interesting.
Thanks very much for your questions.
Thank you.
That's really helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.